Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Unreal. Thank you to Kevin Harlan on Westwood One for that call. Unbelievable. How did the Eagles lose this game? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, a sullen Andrew Perloff Eagle fan, although you've really kind of come to grips with this loss. Yeah. You think it's a harbinger of much bigger and more urgent doom.
Honestly, I feel so much better today that I got to come on the show and yell about it and rip the defense and rip Nick Sirianni and rip Saquon Barkley, rip Howie Roseman. Let's go after owner Jeffrey Lurie. Let's talk about the mayor. Let's talk about Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. Heck, we'll go all the way up to the top. Roger Goodell. Everyone makes me mad right now, but I feel better getting to vent. And that's the great thing about sports talk radio is if we didn't have this, how would people deal with a loss like this in Philadelphia? Can't imagine what's going on down there. It is one of the toughest losses I remember. It does feel like, maybe I'm caught in the moment, it does feel like, ooh, this is a signature loss. Like, it's not going to go up from here. It's going to go down.
Well, I think you're carrying last year's baggage with
you.
And I can understand why, because last year you're riding high at 10-1. Little did we know, inside the building, things were falling apart. Everyone kind of knew it, but couldn't really say it. And that's what happened. It became a free fall, and then you lose in the playoffs.
Yep.
This time, it was... I thought this was 100% on the coaches. Now, Saquon Barkley may not be like a winning player when we remember his career. He might not have a lot of, like, you know, postseason success. Now, he was on the Giants for a few years and they weren't doing much, but
I did read he has trouble with big catches.
So that's something I think you have to know if you are Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And also, here's the other part of it. Saquon Barkley, yeah, he's got to make that catch, but the Eagles have to, defense has to make a stop. What you actually can control, we have no idea if these guys are going to make plays, right? The best players make bad plays. The one thing you can control is what's the play call. The play call made no sense to me. You need to be taking time off the clock. That's another 40 seconds. The Atlanta Falcons have already burned all their timeouts. Mm-hmm. At this point, drain the clock as much as you can. Then you kick the field goal so that they don't need a field goal to tie. Obviously, you got to go up by six if you can't actually score a touchdown at that point. You go up by six. I think Kirk Cousins getting the ball with no timeouts and under a minute left is a different calculus in his mind than getting the ball with a minute 40, basically, with no timeouts. He felt like he had all the time in the world, and he looked that way as he's driving 70 yards for the score.
I mean, I'm skeptical that that's the case. That Eagles defense, and I've known this, they've now lost seven in their last nine games, and the defensive backs have looked, gone from bad to worse. They just got old in the defensive backfield. I think a minute five was plenty of time. I think Kirk Cousins would have just ripped down the field. The way they were covering was such a joke that it wouldn't have mattered. Honestly, they were going to lose that game. They should have gone for it on fourth and three after the drop, because then Atlanta would have had a longer field. You're right. Of course, looking back on it, they should have ran a run play and then tush-push on fourth down. At least make Atlanta go a little bit further, because As Bill Barnwell of ESPN put it, a 6-point lead in the last minute is the worst possible lead you could have.
Yeah, it does always feel, and especially when you have an experienced quarterback like Cousins on the other side. And if you're going to give him time, like Kirk Cousins might not be the greatest quarterback in the league, but he's not a stiff. You know, he's going to be able to find guys, especially when you give him all day in the pocket. So,
yeah, but you had no pass rush whatsoever, and Cousins had his choice of guys to pick on in the secondary.
Yep.
The Eagles are either old or inexperienced. There's basically nobody's, there's no shutdown guy. So it was a very easy job for Cousins. Another thing, the Eagles still should have won the game. I mean, they had the ball with 30 seconds.
Two timeouts.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Jalen Hurts got hit as he threw the final interception. And they have a guy with a booming leg as kicker, Jake Elliott. So they really had a good chance there.
So Jake Elliott has hit a 61-yarder in his career. And I know Nico knows this because it happened against the Giants. But that was many years ago. But he did kick that 61-yarder. I believe that was like a season opener, whatever. And they only needed like 15 more yards. and they would have been, in theory, in Jake Elliott's range.
Yeah,
and obviously, Jalen threw the interception.
I honestly thought a designed run and spike the ball. That's what I would have done. Because the one guarantee play they have is Jalen Hurts' design runs, kind of Dak Prescott-ish. Mm. Maybe get down to the 40. Yeah. It would have been hard to execute, but that's what I would have done. At least give Elliott a chance.
Let's hear from some of the players in this game. First, Saquon Barkley says his drop cost the team the game.
Dropped the ball, let my team know today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. Made that catch, game's over. Relax, went back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
More from Barkley says the loss sucks when his drop was the costly mistake.
Yeah, it definitely sucks. Any loss sucks. But you know, the game comes down to a few plays, and hurts a little more when you're the one who's, you know, making a mistake on that play. So.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Saquon's always going to take accountability. You know, he's not going to shy away from it. How about his head coach? Here's Nick Sirianni defending the decision to throw the ball on 3rd and 3.
Yeah, you can't just be every time it's 3rd and 3 say you're going to run it, right? You got to teams obviously pick up on that. If you're every time you're 3rd and 3, you're going to run it. Every time you're and set yourself up for 4th down. So sometimes you got to throw quick. Sometimes you got to run it. Sometimes you got to set yourself up. Sometimes you have two opportunities to get it on 3rd and 3 with two passes. Sometimes you have the opportunities to get it with runs.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not sure what he's saying there.
Well, he definitely.
Yeah, sometimes you screw the whole thing up, Nick. Sometimes you snatch a defeat out of the jaws of victory, is something you might say. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, too, you still see, I think the reason that so many people have an issue with Nick Sirianni, he's still got that cocky look on his face, like, I'm the man. I just think that's the way he presents himself, and it's unfortunate on nights like last night.
I'm telling you, this is going to sound disrespectful. I don't mean it to be this way, but he looks like a guy they plucked from the Delaware beaches to come and coach the team. Someone who just like just won a spike ball tournament over in Rehoboth Beach. And like, hey, you want to go coach the Eagles?
Wait, is that a positive thing you're saying or a negative thing? Because that sounds pretty much exactly what the Eagles fans want.
Here's more Nick Sirianni getting testy with a reporter asking if it was his decision or Kellen Moore's on the 3rd down call.
Just to clarify on the calls, though, Kellen's making,
Kellen's the offense coordinator that makes, right, so. Kellen's offense coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Yep, beep, beep, beep. Just back it up right over Kellen Moore. Nick Sirianni says if you're trying to stir something up, he's obviously being sarcastic there, but he knows how Philadelphia works and how this whole thing works, which is there's going to be blame to be doled out. And Barkley's going to get some of it. The defense of Vic Fangio is going to get some of it, and he's going to get some of it. And he's the one person who can't afford it because Saquon's new around here. Fangio's new around here. Sirianni, they know. And he's the guy, in my opinion, who is on the shakiest ground. Saquon just got paid. They're not going to do anything with him. They need him. I don't know about Sirianni.
Yeah, I don't know about Fangio, by the way. I'm not sure that's a long marriage.
Okay.
Because even though Fangio just got there, like his guys have been there, like all his mentees.
But regardless, he's supposed to be like the OG version, you know?
Yeah, he's not. The thing about the ESPN telecast, they put it clearly on Barkley after the game. Like, they kept, I think maybe a video of that. You don't have video of Nick Sirianni. Like, this is going to be the Saquon Barkley drop game. No one's going to remember this as a Sirianni play call game. You know how games get labels.
Yep.
ESPN was very clear. They must have showed up 400 times. And Scott Van Pelt will come back and we'll talk about Saquon Barkley's drop and the Falcons win. In fact, it was a Barkley drop. I think because Barkley's got a lot of star power, obviously. And if it was Ken Gainwell who dropped that ball, we wouldn't be talking about it. But Saquon was the subject of Hard Knocks offseason. And I think there's a rivalry with the Giants going on. And it's just, it's all bad.
Yeah. Well, to the victor goes the spoils. You wouldn't know it, but Atlanta was the big winners last night. Here's Kirk Cousins on how this win can elevate the season.
So when we can find those inches, it can really change the tail of the season. So we're going to have more of those up ahead, and we're going to have to keep, as a whole team, finding ways to make the plays to get it done. And it wasn't just, it's Koo making the long extra point. It's our defense standing up at the end, too. And I've been a part of games where you go down and score, and then you walk out of here with a loss because you miss that extra point and you go to overtime or you don't get the stop at the end. So it really does take everybody to find a way to come out of here with a win.
So that's Cousins. And you know what? Listen, for a team like the Falcons, blowout wins are most likely not on the table for this team. You know, I don't think that, quite frankly, I don't know if they're talented enough.
I mean, maybe the Panthers. We'll take that off the table. Right.
Although now with Andy Dalton, maybe not. But
yeah.
These are going to be close games. And I think that having a little confidence that you could go on the road, Philadelphia is a very hard place to play, and win a game like that, I mean, it has to mean something, Perloff. If you can take off your Philadelphia hat for a second and put the Falcons hat on, did you think this means anything moving forward?
Well, I don't even... Okay, I don't know what the win means, but I do know that defense is pretty good. Obviously, they didn't really get after Jalen Hurts, but Jesse Bates is a star at safety. And there were a lot of guys I'm like, oh, you know, I forgot they had that guy. He's pretty good. That guy is pretty good. I thought A.J. Terrell, their quarterback, was really
good. Him the highest paid, right?
Yeah.
Something like that, close to it.
Judon probably lost a little bit of a step, but he's a factor. Their defense is definitely good enough to win. So if they have a healthy Cousins, they're going to win this division. I still think they're right there. It's going to be a dogfight. I love that it's a three-team race. I like what you said earlier. Maybe you get two teams out of this division.
That would be the shocker.
Because, I mean...
You think the Saints can keep it up? I mean, that's the big thing. So Atlanta, tough task for them. They go on to face Kansas City next week. Your Eagles play the New Orleans Saints. These are now much more interesting games than they were 48 hours ago.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are beat up too. So that Atlanta... Atlanta has a chance in any, I mean, pretty much the entire league has a chance in any game. Listen, the Ravens just blew a 10-point lead to the Raiders. Anybody can win at any given Sunday, except for the Panthers, of course.
Yeah, we should.
Now that they have Andy Dalton, maybe they can too.
We should talk about the Panthers. We have not hit that yet. Obviously, Perloff's got a relationship with Andy Dalton. He's back in at QB1. Why I think this is the biggest mistake they could be making. And of course, you can always weigh in on what we saw last night, Monday Night Football, at 855-212-4227. Do you blame Saquon Barkley for dropping the pass on 3rd and 3? Or do you blame the coaching staff for calling that play with under 2 minutes left to go when your opponent has no timeouts and you have the lead? 855-212-4227.
Oh, boy. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. Just a shot at our Garfunkel.
I didn't mean it. I just said I'm in a big Paul Simon phase right now, but no Garfunkel.
Are you going to go after Oates next? What's your problem with the other guy?
That's Pipilotti's territory.
No, I think Simon and Garfunkel better than Paul Simon solo. I'm sorry.
I disagree. Cause I don't
You're like a diamonds on the soles of her shoes kind of.
I'm like, I want to just go to Graceland. You know, Memphis, Tennessee. I don't need to do Bridge Over Troubled Water. Oh, no, that's just Simon. I don't need parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. I don't want that phase.
Bridge Over Troubled Water is both.
That's both. Okay, thanks. Yeah, no, I want Diamonds on the Soles of My Shoes. I want Graceland. I want Boy in the Bubble, whatever. I want that stuff.
The genesis was Nico is running the board today, and he knew the certain song, but he didn't know the artist. And I do think there's this tendency, like, we knew everybody who is, like, I know all the rock stars from the 50s, and I wasn't around for them, but now it's not expected that any Gen Z or millennial person has any idea who even like somebody from 1997 was.
Okay, but see, flip the table on us. Do you know the difference between ASAP Rocky and ASAP Ferg? Like, I don't. And so I can't call, I can't be like, wow, kids today, when I don't know their music as much either, except for Bogus Tremiana Chapel Roan, so I know who she is now.
But I do feel like it's weird, like this, like, bragging about ignorance of the past is like seems to be like a millennial Gen Z thing.
Oh, well, not he's not bragging about it.
I do know a lot of 80s music, though.
That's
that was
by virtue
80s
of...
music that we talked about.
No.
Celebrate was
definitely
1980, 81.
Well, the reason why we even needed Nico to grab this song is because...
Sorry, I forgot that we had not revealed the song we were talking about yet.
Because Andy Dalton is back at QB1, ladies and gentlemen. Bryce Young gets benched yesterday. And there's no couching it. It was not, oh, we're just going to sit him down for a little bit or he's going to get this job back. It's kind of indefinite. So let's hear Andy Dalton, Nico, excited to be back starting again.
I wasn't sure if I was going to get another opportunity to start again. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited about what's ahead. And, you know, it's a tough situation. I've been on both sides of it. And it's not hard. I mean, it's hard on everybody. So, but for me, I'm looking forward to it.
This is what's playing in Dalton's head. Out of the way, Bryce. Stink anyway.
So you've been teasing this clip. I did not hear glee in Andy Dalton's voice. I thought he handled that pretty professionally.
Okay.
Did you guys hear
QB speak? That's basically him just go out there with confetti gun, like pow! I'm back.
Did you guys hear that?
Yes. And I saw it because I watched his face and he was grinning. I mean, he looked like the Joker with the smile he had on his face. I'm like, who smiles when saying that this has been a tough time for the organization?
I've been on
both. No one's happier to be 0-2 than Andy Dalton.
Nico, did you hear this?
Not really.
He's like, yeah, I've been on both sides. This is a tough situation. This is nobody wants this.
Yeah, I think I'm with Perloff here.
Yeah, what on earth are you guys talking about?
You can hear his voice when he says, oh, it's time for me to say the thing they expect me to say.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it now and then say, but I'm really excited.
I'm excited.
What is he supposed to say? I have no. How do you guys answer that question?
I treat it like a
funeral? What are you talking about? This is like their 0-2 football team. What on earth would he possibly say other than that?
I don't know if it has to be so I'm excited. It's just. I understand if anything I can do to help the organization, I'm going to do. Like, you know, you're basically saying I'm excited because some other guy was so bad that they benched him. By the way, did you guys see the stat that a number one overall pick has never been benched this fast in the history of the NFL? Like, this is a sad day because multiple coaches, let's say what it is. This franchise ruined Bryce Young. Now, I don't know if he, or I'm sorry, is ruining. I don't know if he's ruined yet, but they are actively ruining him because they're doing everything that bad organizations do to ruin quarterbacks.
But how do you know it's on him?
It could be him too. I mean, I was never a big Bryce believer because he's short and slight, and I thought that's never a combo I think is going to work outside of, like, I don't know, Doug Flutie. I don't even know. But to be the number one overall pick with that kind of pressure, and he's going to a terrible team. Terrible team, changing coaches, revolving door of coordinators.
Body swapping. Don't forget that because that is not the same human being who was at Alabama.
Whatever alien life force came and took Bryce Young out of his body and gave us this.
He can't even run 8 yards down the field without tripping 3 times. Well, he is either completely nervous. I don't know. He's not the same human being who was at Alabama. And I'm sorry. I know that you were down on him coming in the draft. But what I saw in college... It's just a completely different player.
Well, maybe you can get sacked 62 times in your rookie year. Maybe how you play.
He was under a lot of pressure at Alabama, and he always evaded and made a play downfield.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
And his arm was stronger. Everything was better at Alabama.
Well, I get it. The SEC sends a lot of players to the NFL, but it's not the same. And I think that...
It is as bad as it is far more disappointing than your worst-case scenario.
No, this is terrible. Is that what you're saying?
Like, I'm saying his play. Like,
yeah.
Not only everybody gets a little better when they get to the pros. Like Bo Nix all of a sudden has a cannon. I mean, it's just like you throw every day. He should be better in some one thing he does should be better in the pros. And every single thing he does is worse.
Yeah, well, the team is terrible. I didn't mention the offensive line stinks. And so
the receiving core. Eek.
Also bad. And so they've done everything they possibly can. This is like the anatomy of ruining a first round pick or a top pick. Is exactly what's going on. And I don't know if he has enough talent at this level to begin with. But here's what I'll also say is a bad idea. Putting Andy Dalton in. He might mess around and win you a couple games. That's not what you want. If you are going to be this bad and non-competitive and you understand that, what does winning three or four games get you? Maybe you still get the number one pick and none of this will matter, but I don't understand why you'd even jeopardize that to possibly hand the number one pick to another bad team so that you don't have your choice of quarterback. Now, it didn't work out well the last time they had their choice of quarterback, but that doesn't mean you don't want to be picking first again. They should be tanking right now.
Yeah. Last time the Panthers got the number one overall, they should have been at the number two pick. And well, C.J. Stroud had gone with their original instinct.
To be honest, actually, it was their own fault for trading up to one. I mean, this could go down as one of the worst trades of all time. And the more, the better Stroud looks and the better Caleb will eventually look, I think, the worse this is all going to be for Bryce Young and for the Panthers.
If they had traded up and taken C.J. Stroud, it'd be one of the greatest trades of all time.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not a good organization. So I don't think, and I think if Stroud was there, I don't know if he gets developed, maybe.
Maybe not. I think it looks better than this.
There's no Nico Collins on this team. There's no Laremy Tunsil on this team. I'm talking about a receiver, an offensive lineman.
Who was Nico Collins before C.J. Stroud got there?
Well, I mean, you're right.
Nobody.
You're right. He was a third-round pick out of Michigan, but the Houston Texans were terrible. You know, Deshaun Watson
basically they were just abandoned them.
Kind of.
So C.J. Stroud immediately fixed everything.
Do you think they should be tanking? I know you want your guy, Andy Dalton, on the field.
Okay.
But
I don't want to quote my friend of me, Andrew Bogus, too much, but the New York Giants, he said they should not tank because they've been in the top three in the draft and done nothing with it before. I'm not sure what difference it makes. You might as well try and win right now because there's nothing in this draft that is going to save them. It doesn't matter if they're the one pick, two pick, or three pick. I don't think this is a tank draft necessarily. As long as you're in the top five, you're fine because there's a mix of quarterbacks who are all the same.
Yeah, but what if this is only 3 weeks into the college football season? What if by the end Cam Ward does look like, you know, an amazing prospect? Or what if somehow Carson Beck turns things around?
I'm very confident that it's going to be hard to tell amongst the top five guys who's better. I think that as long as you're high up in the first round, you're going to get your guy. And there's no way, I love Andy Dalton, there's no way he's getting this team to better than number five in the draft. That'd be very surprising.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. I think the Panthers are making a mistake here. You might as well tank and try get another bite of the apple. By the way, have you guys seen a lot of trade destinations for Bryce Young?
Only in New York, and I think they're crazy. That is the...
What, to go to the Giants?
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen. Where is there anybody else?
No, I heard Miami.
Oh,
depending
on
what happens with Tua.
No, you heard from Ben Solak, Miami. Or
well,
like,
I technically heard from my husband's text thread.
Nothing.
His friends.
Nothing
he
in
he
Miami.
Said it to me. He was like this. I was like, is Miami trying to tank?
No one in Miami wants Bryce Young. And if they do.
Nobody anywhere should want him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd be surprised. The media had a little trade. If somebody trades for Bryce Young, I'll be shocked. I mean, it might happen, but they have not been watching tape of
him. I mean, the Cowboys traded for Trey Lance. He was a distressed asset.
Now, Trey Lance was Johnny Unitas compared to Bryce Young.
Someone should take the flyer on him. Look, Sam Darnold looks okay. Baker Mayfield looks okay. I mean, every quarterback that is
those guys were good.
When was Sam Darnold good?
Sam Darnold had 17 touchdowns and 13 picks, and is he like that's like the fourth best Jets quarterback season of all time?
Sam Darnold was garbage, okay? Baker Mayfield
beat the Steelers in a playoff game.
Right,
Bryce Young was terrible.
Awful. My point, though, is that when you go to that Carolina situation, it just makes any quarterback just look like he's the worst.
Sorry, I see what you're saying. You're talking about their experience specifically in Charlotte.
Yeah, that's true. Like, those guys, like they look terrible. Whether you thought they were good or not, they look terrible in Carolina. So if I'm another team, I see the former number one pick, a guy who was at least a guy who was a top draft pick, and he's potentially a guy that could be out there for a sixth round pick, a seventh round. Like, he's not going to go for anything big. Like, why not take the flyer on him?
What if there's a little bit of money that comes with him?
The money might be a little bit of a thing, but I mean, again, at this point, you're the Giants. Like, you got Daniel Jones. Like, who cares at this point? You might as well see if Daboll can get something out of this guy before you decide to say we're going to take a quarterback at the number one or two in the draft.
Here is Dave Canales. So he's the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Declines to say whether or not the owner, David Tepper, was consulted on the QB change.
I want to keep that private. What I would like to say, though, is this is something after I watched the film, I looked at it, had a thought, started working on, talking to the guys that we make decisions with. Certainly a lot of parties involved there. And ultimately this comes on me, and my number one responsibility is to help the Panthers win. And so this move, I believe, puts us in the best chance to do that.
Like, I'm not trying to make light of it, but couldn't you just see Tepper with, like, basically like a knife in his back and be like, all right, now you go out there and you say this was all your idea.
It's like that Family Guy meme with the woman with the gun at behind, what's the name, Lois's back.
Exactly. It's like, it felt like, I'm going to keep that private. Oh, but it's my decision.
Well, obviously, sharp. But one thing, Canales obviously wanted to go to Dalton probably 6 weeks ago. But the
training
owner,
camp.
Yeah, I'm sure the owner and the GM wouldn't let him. I'm sure he... Obviously, coach needs to win games. He doesn't care about the future. So Canales was probably thrilled when either Tepper or the GM gave him the okay.
Well,
it was probably definitely yes.
But Canales was, think about it, he probably got the job by saying, I can fix Bryce.
Right, right. But yeah, he's going to be judged by wins and losses. That's so true. This is a huge day for Dave Canales. Gives him, because this could, he has one and done written all over him. Now maybe he has a chance.
Our own Andrew Kaplan saying in the chat, I'm hearing a lot of roll the dice for Bryce in New York. Bogus, you're the Giants fan here, along with Nico. Do you want to see this?
No, I do not. And also, I want to thank Perloff for half listening to me. I'm not opposed to the Giants tanking in theory. My issue is that they're tanking again. I was told that they were done being bad. I was told that we were going in the right direction. That's my frustration.
Very similar to the Panthers, right? I mean, they've been in tank mode for a while now.
Yeah, no thank you on Bryce Young. Somebody else? Okay. The Giants don't need another quarterback headache right now. No thank you.
Thanks to my brilliant math genes in my brain, someone told me that the Giants are only a game out of first place in the NFC East.
Wow.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Nico, you shouldn't be listening to the voices in your head. We all know you can't trust them.
I got to be honest. They'll definitely beat the Eagles one game this year. I will guarantee that.
Well, I don't know if that's so much of an accomplishment anymore. Kaplan saying, I'm hearing a lot of roll the dice for Bryce, where Billy said, I heard it's I'd rather have lice than Bryce. By the way, they sent home a thing from my school that there's a new lice protocol. And I was like, oh, fabulous.
Love those. I just love giving those messages to my mom. Going to my backpack, here, Ma. Mom's like, what the hell?
The new lice protocol is you don't have to get sent home right away. I was like,
really?
That seems like a bizarre one. Anyway, Bogus has headlines for us. What's up?
Drake London, 7-yard touchdown catch with 34 seconds left, only tied up Monday Night Football in Philly. The PAT would give the Falcons the lead, and that kick was from 48 yards away because London was called for unsportsmanlike conduct for mimicking shooting a gun during his TD celebration. Younghoe Koo made that kick, and then Jesse Bates picked off Jalen Hurts, so Kirk Cousins' team won 22-21 in Philadelphia.
I've been a part of games where you go down and score and then you walk out of here with a loss because you miss that extra point and you go to overtime or you don't get the stop at the end. So it really does take everybody to find a way to come out of here with a win.
And 1-1 is much better than 0-2. Cousins 5-for-6 on the go-ahead drive. He threw for 241 and 2 scores overall. The Eagles, again, very much in position to win this one with 100 seconds left, but that's when they threw on 3rd and short, and Saquon Barkley dropped an easy pass, stopping the clock and leaving extra time for those Falcons. Jalen Hurts couldn't throw to A.J. Brown then or any point last night because of a hamstring injury picked up in practice last week.
I mean, he's definitely missed, but that doesn't change the trust that I have in everybody else to step up. And I think we just didn't meet the moment in terms of... it wasn't for us tonight.
Brown told ESPN that he thinks he'll miss multiple weeks because of this injury. 5th-ranked Ole Miss went to Wake Forest last weekend and thumped the Demon Deacons 46. There was supposed to be a rematch next fall in Oxford, but the Deacs have bought their way out of that game, and Lane Kiffin ain't happy.
You usually don't do that a year, in the season before. It's hard. There's not people to play. So it's why you do scheduling in advance and you make deals and you go and play there and they come back. And so, that was really not something, I would just say that's rarely ever done. I've never really heard of doing it, and it really puts us at a big disadvantage and is what it is. Obviously wasn't appreciated very much.
Cue the Jordan Last Dance meme. The problem is they need to, Ole Miss. You have to have a power conference team on your non-conference schedule. by SEC rules, and now they don't because of Wake, and now it's hard to find another one. So their option is maybe finding somebody or getting a one-year exemption since Wake did them dirty here, apparently.
What about one of those weird former Pac-12 schools? They've all dispersed. They must need games on their schedule.
But they're all in a league.
Yeah.
Nobody's floating around.
Yeah, yeah. So this is like, but this is a pre-conference game, right?
Yeah, it's Wake's out of the ACC and Ole Miss is in the SEC, but they need somebody from one of those leagues as opposed to playing like Southeast Louisiana Tech again.
And the AAC that we've been spending half the show on doesn't count.
No, that's not a power conference. That's a group of five conference.
Mm. This is, by the way, on my list of problems, this is low.
Yeah, I just like Lane being so salty.
Yeah, but I was actually thinking, like, what is Lane care? Is he going to be there next year?
Oh, he's going to be there next year. I wonder why. I guess Wake just didn't want to take a beating again.
Yeah.
I guess also, why do they let a team do this? Be like, no, you can't buy your way out of this one.
I mean, it's, I guess it's always in the contract that you can. There is a buyout price, and Wake's willing to pay it.
All right.
I think it sends a terrible message to your team. Like, you just
don't dodge the smoke. Come on. Anyway,
the Arizona Diamondbacks, a 3-2 loss in Colorado last night. The Mets rallied for a 2-1 win in 10 over the Nats. The Braves took a 9-0 beating from the Dodgers. So the Diamondbacks still sit second in the NL wildcard standing, but just a game ahead of New York, who has a one-game lead on Atlanta now for that last spot. Meanwhile, Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor out until the weekend, at least with back stiffness. An MRI was apparently clean. Guys? Back to you.
Andrew Bogish, thank you so much. Lots more to do. Do we have time to sneak in our pal? Here's Big Dave calling from Kentucky. Big Dave, how you doing after loss, pal?
How about them Cowboys?
Well, not great.
Oh, come on now. Did y'all listen to Jerry? It's great. Life is good.
Yeah, if you're Jerry Jones, life is good. But what about the rest of us?
Oh, yeah, but listen, it's addition by subtraction. I mean, it's a geriplatitude. You have to, less is more. Have you guys not heard of all this? I mean, life is good, man. Y'all, listen, Jerry is applying algebra when the rest of us is just trying to add two and two together.
I'm sure that hasn't grown old at all, Dave.
No, let me tell you what I hope it gets so bad, by the only thing we have to say, I hope it gets so bad that Jerry comes down out of the box and puts a headset on and takes a clipboard over. Or maybe even suits up, runs out of the tunnel.
But
like
Dave,
to play tight end or something with those leather helmets on. That's the only thing this circus lacks.
Hold on. Mike McCarthy's headset, who do you think's talking to him in that headset?
I don't know. I think he's like watching Netflix or something.
Yeah. Catching up on the Bear.
Yeah. What? How terrible, but I'm just basking in the glory of it all. And, of course, my Bengals, they suck too. But actually, we played good. Ref stole the game. But anyway, what, McLovin?
Kentucky Wildcats football looked pretty dangerous there for a minute.
Yeah, we suck too.
almost beat Georgia.
I know, but almost is the key word in that phrase. But, you know, I don't know what it is. We always play Georgia tough. But the week before, we looked horrendous. I don't know. I mean, we had a chance to win, played great. We'll see going forward. This week is Ohio University, which is really a nobody but in the MAC. But we'll see. Everything's wide open right now. Texas is the class of college football, in my opinion. Arch Manning, so excited to see him this past Saturday. So, wild crap going on.
Dave, you got a desperate Ravens team in Dallas. I mean, Lamar's going to run 300 times. Derrick Henry, you can't stop the run. You got a game plan here?
That there's really not one. Yeah, there's a game plan. You load the box up and make him throw the ball. I mean, which is not that he can't throw, but they're both just I don't know. It seems like we keep wanting to prop the Ravens up, and it just seems like it's the same thing every year. But yeah, if you're the Cowboys, you got to load the box up and try to keep contain the ends, keep Lamar in the pocket, and make him beat you downfield. There's your game plan.
You know, Dave, you switched your allegiance from the Dallas Cowboys to the Cincinnati Bengals, and now they're 0-2. Is this a you problem?
I'm beginning to think it might be. But don't think I haven't asked myself that same question, Max. But, you know, I don't know. The Bengals have got some injuries. They started off slow the last few years. I still think I like my odds if Burrow stays healthy. I don't know. We'll see.
Dave, you're the best. Thanks for checking in. Don't be a stranger. Appreciate the warden. Whenever he drops by.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. You're saying the Bengals are 0-2 like it's a negative thing. That's where they want to be.
Yeah, right.
This is the plan, Maggie.
Yeah, that sounds a little like Kirby Smart with that close win against Kentucky. Yeah. He's like, this is what we do. This happened to us against Missouri a couple years ago. We won the national title. Like it's a strategy. It's like, no, your quarterback played like trash and you guys almost lost. Like, good job, good effort to try to paint that into a positive. Same with the Bengals being 0-2, by the way.
That's like the number one thing for me on coaching cliches. Is like something bad happening to you and being like, well, this is just how it goes sometimes. This we expected this. Mm-hmm. Manny Diaz used to always do that. Be like, hey, man, that's what Georgia Tech does to people. I'm like, we're Miami, dude. What do you mean that's what Georgia Tech does to people?
Turn off his mic.
No, now he gets to bask.
Honestly, a good Miami Hurricanes, I might have to take a sabbatical.
Well, here's the thing.
We're Miami. This is what... Get out of here, dude. Well, you haven't been good since Bogus met his wife in 2000.
Say, EJ's knee brace is also a low-key time machine. Cam Ward is awesome, but as Big Dave said, I think Texas is the class of college football right now.
Is anything been determined in September? Are they definitely better than Ohio State? They have Georgia on October 19th. I don't know. Yes, Texas looks awesome now, but what the heck do we oh my God, you and Arch, what is the deal?
Just love it. Just want to see it. Because this is like the most hyped college football prospect I think we've ever had.
Yeah, but I mean, we're going to see him.
He might be living up to it.
Yeah, like, but he might be behind the number two pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, but that's fine. I still want to see it. 855-212-4227. I've seen a lot of Quinn Ewers. I get it. I've got it.
You want more Mannings?
Now that's a question. I need different Mannings. How about that? I've had enough Peyton and Eli. I need a different Manning in my life. So give me Arch. I'm not sick of Arch yet.
What about a third Kelsey?
Oh, God.
Okay.
There's not another one, is there?
I don't think so.
We were actually trying to power rank the Kelseys. I still think it goes Travis, Donna, Jason. I think his mom is more popular. Maybe Kylie.
Yeah.
That's another reason the Giants can't tank this year. They got to wait till 2026 for Arch.
Mm.
Another Manning coming to New York.
Wait,
I want us to talk about that.
Archie going to manipulate that one,
he
too?
Might.
I guess
that's,
Eli.
That's a solid play.
Yeah,
I don't mind it.
Bogus just like carried the one. He's
I'm
like
doing
that
the math.
Cool.
Like, is that really the neck? That's two drafts away. Oh, my God, it is.
Yeah, bring in Bryce Young. Let him stink for a year and then go get Arch.
Bring in Bryce Young next year. You're talking about next year bringing Bryce Young.
No, bring him now. Bring him now. Let him play. Let him be the quarterback next year. And then once you see that he's not the answer, then you go get Arch.
Man, who's going to be the Giants coach by the time that all unfolds? Clint Kubiak? Like, I don't know.
Is there a Belichick kid around?
Yeah.
Belichick might be fired by the time.
I know. Belichick's kid with the stupid haircut? Maybe he's a coach then. 855-212-4227.
Stevie Belichick and Arch Manning running the Giants.
Steve cut his hair. I've seen a lot of interviews with him this year.
Oh, he did? Good for
him.
You're
going to think, he actually sounds like a very smart person. I know that sounds weird.
I never knew what he sounded like.
Well, he was always the mullet guy and... Never thought he was a fake coach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Nepo, baby. I don't know if he can coach.
Yeah.
But if I'm good with one Nepo, baby, Arch Manning, I'm good with another. Arch actually has to prove it on the field.
You had it totally wrong about the Cowboys, about Mike McCarthy getting fake things into his headphones
from
watching
Jerry.
Netflix.
Yeah.
I think they give Jerry they said, hey, you're talking to the coach. And it's really Debbie from accounting on the other line. All right, I want you to run a pass play. Is this thing working? He just ran a run play. I said pass play. What is going on here?
Give your little cousin the Super Nintendo controller that's not plugged in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, now we're playing Madden.
They do an entire simulated draft room for Jerry that they pretend is real just so Jerry can think he's making the picks. Yeah. Then they make all the smart picks.
I always thought
there's nothing going on there.
They changed his calendar so he thinks Friday is Thursday. And they're like, all right, this is who we want. And you're already on round three.
He thinks the Saints, the Cowboys won on Sunday.
Yeah. He has no idea. Yeah, that's why he's talking. Like, Dave's like, what is Jerry talking about? I'm like, well,
Jerry's 2-0.
Not sure, yeah.
I feel great. They show him one, like, a game from, like, 1994.
They have it. Yeah, it is owner's box. They have an old game.
They're showing him beating Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Or one of those, like, misfit, non-licensed commercials where they're, like, it's kind of a Cowboy uniform and kind of a Saints uniform, no logos.
They're just showing the movie that Kevin James was in playing Sean Payton.
Was that a first down by Jay Novacek? No, Jerry, that was Jake Ferguson, yeah. Not Jay Nova. It sounds like.
So good to hear Summerall again.
Oh, Roy, 855-212-4227. Okay, we've got injury updates for you next.
Well, the search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, Perloff's Eagles take a tough loss last night, Pearl. Now you've gotten a chance to talk about it for about 4 hours. Do you feel any better? Are you still
yes.
out on the Eagles?
I feel so much better.
But are you still out on them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't think their defense is very good. I think it's the roster building. I think it's coaching. I actually gave you a hard time for predicting that Nick Sirianni be the first coach fired because I think the Eagles have a pretty easy, manageable schedule. They could get a lot of W's, so it's kind of hard to fire a 500 coach who's been to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But there's a chance that it all goes south. Now they've lost 7 of their last 9 games. It's pretty unbelievable.
But I hate the stuff that says, like, going back to last year. I get why you have the baggage from last year, yeah. because that was probably brutal to live through, that kind of free fall. But it's a totally different team, totally different year.
Ooh, so similar. I mean, it's so similar.
But different people in the building.
They did not. They tried to revamp their defensive backfield, but they just couldn't do enough.
I mean, listen, I think you probably made a mistake by not firing Sirianni in the offseason. You made all these changes, and then for some reason, you stopped at the head coach. Right now, we have a poll up. Are the Philadelphia Eagles done? 59% of you are saying no. 41% are saying yes. Where one person's asking, is the NFC East the worst division in football? Now, I think if you're just asking me, I think still the AFC South has probably got to – if the Jaguars really are not Ooh. Good at 0-2, if you have the Texans, the Titans are not as good as I think you and EJ thought they were going to be.
I mean, listen, the Titans, if their quarterback was an so foolhardy, they probably could win some of these games. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Right, and then the Colts with Anthony Richardson, good luck to you. But I mean, first of all, their defense is bad.
They almost beat the Texans. I mean, it was close. It was 29-27, maybe a late touchdown.
Week that one, game you can't go for style points.
That game was close, so.
It was close. I think that was the Texans still working stuff out on the offense. I think maybe there's a case here because the NFC South may be better than we thought. Saints are off to a historic start. Buccaneers don't look bad. Mm-hmm. Falcons were able to eke out a win last night in gritty fashion. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Panthers just made a change to Andy Dalton. I don't know if it's going to matter, but they're doing something.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to argue because I don't think there's an elite team in there. I bet you the end of the year, though, they end up record-wise not being the worst division. I don't know what it is, the vibe. I feel like the Cowboys and the Eagles are going to get some wins.
Possible. Yeah. A quick update for you. Isaiah Pacheco looks like it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks with the basically broken leg. It's a fractured fibula. So there were some rumors that Kareem Hunt was going to be the guy they would bring in. Perloff, how much is this going to hurt the Chiefs?
It's going to hurt them for sure. They've become really reliant on Isaiah Pacheco, but it's not the worst possible prognosis. He'll be back. I feel like they're pretty resilient. And I'm basing it on the fact that they were able to redefine themselves after Tyreek Hill left, and he was such a huge chunk of their offense, find new ways to beat you. They're going to do these things, these extended handoffs, screen pass to Rashee Rice is a big part of their offense. I think they find new ways to replace that production.
Do you know what 6 to 8 weeks, where that puts you right on the Chiefs' schedule?
Nowhere.
If it's 8 weeks, he'd be ready to go right before Kansas City comes to Buffalo. November 17th. Wouldn't that be rich? But he'd be with them for potentially a big playoff push here. Not that the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs, but...
I have a newsflash for you. It does not really matter what happens November 17th in Buffalo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's 6 to 8 weeks, but you still have a lot of time left in the season.
Yeah.
The season just never ends.
Also, who is he when he gets back? The thing about Isaiah Pacheco, he's a seventh-round pick who put his body out there because he was just a seventh-round pick. Now, do you have to start conserving Isaiah Pacheco? How do you approach this? Honestly, what else hurt them? Hollywood Brown not being there for this year. Now they do feel like they're back to being the dink and dunk Chiefs.
You know, the Chiefs are also one of those teams that has the 3 games in 10 days over the holidays.
Yeah.
The December 15th at Cleveland, December 21st home for Houston, Then Christmas Day at Pittsburgh with Christmas on a Wednesday this year.
Don't care. Because did they lose to the Raiders in one of those situations? Or they played the Raiders close? It did not matter come postseason.
Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Nico Skarlotos. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan, Andrew Bogish. Skarlotos. Did I say that right? Yeah, of course I did.
You got to go online and listen to Maggie's 5 things. She's worried there's going to be blowback. 5 things that bother about the NFL. Check it out on Twitter.